Well, Happy New Year to you. It is a great opportunity for a fresh start. How many of you are glad that 2016 is done? Yeah, but actually, I mean, it was a fantastic year. There were a lot of blessings in it. Certainly, there were some challenges and all. But yeah, we have a new year, a new opportunity to start some things, to be a part of some things. Glad that you are starting your year off here at Crossroads and worshiping the God on high and fellowshipping with one another. The one thing about a new year is that, yeah, we think that everything as of midnight last night is gone, but that's not absolutely true, is it? You brought yourself and any of those difficulties you had yesterday, you probably still have today. I mean, it's nice when we say, well, we got new clothes. We're going to look different this year. You know, I got a new scale, but it's going to say the same thing today as it did yesterday. You know, any of the issues that we had, it's not that God says, okay, I'm just going to cut them all off. I'm growing you. And 2016 was an opportunity to grow and to trust in Him. And then as you move forward, my prayer is that you're trusting and abiding more in Him now than you were yesterday. And you will tomorrow more than you do today. It really is about hope and who He is. I just want to remind you today that I love you. You know, one of the privileges I have of my life is to be the pastor of Crossroads Christian Academy and Crossroads Church of Dunwoody. That I love being here. I love interacting with you. I'm not just your pastor, I'm your friend. And I'm one who interacts and lives life here. I'm raising my children here. You know, I'm developing my marriage in and among you. And so thank you for allowing me to be here and to interact with you. It is a privilege for us to be here. I just celebrated my 23rd anniversary yesterday. I know that Jennifer and I don't look that old, but okay, well, maybe she doesn't look that old. But it is good to be here. If you're a guest with us today, I'm thankful that you've chosen to be here this morning. That we've got a special gift for you after the service out in the lobby. If you'll go to the information banner and little tables there, they'll give you something, some information about our church and a gift card. It'll be a privilege to you. If you're a member and a regular attender with us, I'm glad that you came back. I'm glad that your eyes are open. I pray that you stay awake the entire time. How many of you got to watch 2017 entered the world? Okay. How many of you went to bed and didn't care? Okay, there's a few of you around there. Yeah, that's right. It came whether you were awake or not. That's right. Well, we did a mock version of that about 10 o'clock with some of our younger children, and then some of the older ones stayed up probably way too late. But I'm thankful that you're here today. If you're a member here and a regular attender, and just thinking about 2016 and some of the issues that you have, I know that you have much to praise God for, but you also have some challenges that you're bringing with you. And one of the things I want to impress upon us this year is that we're going to pray more, not just pray for issues, but pray with each other on things. And I want you to have the avenue that you can submit those requests and know that they're going to be prayed for. One of the things I'm going to encourage you to do, even for the next 30 or so minutes, is think about those things you want to turn over to God, and you'd love some prayer warriors to be praying with you about. You can write those on the back of one of the envelopes that's in the pew rack in front of you, and put that in the offering when we come to receive that later. Put that on there, because that's what we're the elders and some of the other prayer warriors we're going to have praying over the issues of your heart and your concern. We're a family. We're not just here at an event. This is a church. A church is not a building. It's not an event. It's a family of God. It's the body of believers. It's those who come together to care for one another. And so it's hard to know how to care if we're at a distance or we shelter our own individual battles. Don't suffer in silence over issues. You ought to write those down. Let us pray for you on those things. Likewise, write down some things you're celebrating, some accomplishments, some answered prayers that you have. We love to hear those just as much. So you can jot those down on the back of your envelope and place that in the offering later, and I'm going to guarantee you that we're going to pray for those things. In 2017, if we don't abide in Christ more, we won't have a good year, because we won't have a good life. My whole focus is about abiding. I told you back in November at our annual meeting and that Sunday that I wanted to run, but God impressed upon me more that we need to abide, to connect to the vine. He's the source of our life. Then when I was preaching in December, I opened up our series in Christmas with the gifts that God gives us at Christmas, and one of those is hope. And over the last several weeks, God's been impressing upon me to put those two words together because I've seen some things in Scripture about where this abiding hope comes from and how it really does impact our lives. And before we enter the message, I want us to go to prayer, considering some of the things that we're aware of in our own lives and where we desire God's touch on some things. So would you bow with me? We'll pray together. As you've got your head bowed and your eyes closed, listen to the words of the Psalm 42, where it says, "As a deer pants flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with loud shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." Father, as we've gathered this morning, we want to celebrate and to worship you, to give you the focus and the allegiance that you so deserve. But Father, there are some souls that are downcast. There are some things that challenges of 2016 that we carry forward with us. Things that we are not able to overcome, challenges that we just don't know the answer to. But Father, you've shown us through your word, through the various lives of those who've had turmoil and difficulty, that even in the midst of circumstances, we are called to hope in God. Circumstances change, challenges get more difficult, but God, you are our hope, and you are constant. You are the same yesterday, today, and yes, forever. You are timeless. You're the same God who loved us even before we were created. The same God who sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You're the same God who will be in eternity awaiting your children to spend the marvelous time together, to show us what we could not accomplish on our own, nor devise in our own imagination. Father, 2017 is a human calendar. It's just another day. But it's a good reminder for us that it's a fresh start, that we can focus where our focus needs to be, where our hope needs to not be in the stock market or in presidential elections or in a bonus at work. Our hope truly is in you. And I pray that 2017 we would learn to abide well, to live and get our resources from you alone. For without you, there is no hope. I pray that you would soften the blows, that you would release the burdens. Father, that you would bring healing where healing is needed. May you reconcile relationships where there's been division. Father, I pray you'd give wisdom from on high for those challenging decisions that need to be made in the next days or weeks or months. I pray that you would take care of every financial resource that is needed. Father, you promised to meet every one of our needs. No, you don't always give all of our wants and our wish list. But Father, you take care of our needs. You take care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Father, we know our hope is in you, and you will cover every need. Father, thank you for the lives that sit in this room right now. And protect those who are away this week, traveling and being with family. I pray that you would just infuse within them a new hope, a new vision, and a future that you know full well, but they are cloudy in how they see it. I pray that it would become much more clear so that you would be more celebrated and admired and adored, and we would be more satisfied and in love with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, abiding hope. It's been said that a person can live 40 days without food, 4 days without water, 4 minutes without air, but we cannot live 4 seconds without hope. We sang just a few moments ago, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." I want you to see this verse as I'm considering this hope and this abiding hope to focus our attention today. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and verse 13, it says this. You can see it up on the screen. "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Does anybody remember living like that? Every person born on this planet is separated from God. They have no hope. They are alienated from His grace. Without the blood of Christ, listen to me, that is a reality that every one of us is born into. But He doesn't leave us there. Let's go on. It says that they were no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Now, I want you to notice on this verse, because it really does just focus our attention on what hope is. Hope is not a promise. Hope is not a possession. Hope is not some kind of position that we have. If you look at this verse closely, it tells us what hope is. Hope is a person. My hope is God. Not my hope is through God. Not my hope can be because of God. No, my hope equals God Himself. To be without hope means you are without God. But if you have God, you have hope with you, in you, through you, and for you. I think we separate God and hope too often in our culture and in our conversations, thinking that, oh, I hope that God does something here. As if it's some kind of wish list. Our hope is this promise. Our hope is this possession. Our hope is this position that we can have. And I'm going to use God as the mechanism to get to those things. The Bible does not say that at all. The Bible says God is hope. And if you have Him, you have everything you need. Now, God is very benevolent and very gracious. And as we hope in Him and as He is our hope, He will provide any and all things that He finds adequate that we need. But if we're using God as just some genie to grant us our wish list, as if our hope is in those things that are temporary, we've missed it. No wonder people are so hopeless. They've hoped in the next presidential election. They've hoped in the next job promotion. They've hoped in some kind of financial windfall in the stock market. They've hoped in so many external things. And they found it, and you have found it, needy, lacking. It's because our hope has been in circumstances. Our hope has been in other things along in the world. But the Bible tells us that God is our hope. Without God, you're without hope. Without hope means you're without God. Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ. As we go into 2017, consider you've got all the hope you need if you have God. You really do. It says that there was a time we were separated. We were alienated. We were strangers to any promises, but we had no hope and we were without God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Near to what? Near to God. The hope. In Timothy, the next verse we'll share. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. I want you to look at this. It says, as for the rich in their present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. You think, well, yeah, I'm not rich, so I don't do that. What do you set your hope on? In 2017, this is our challenge. Not to think that everything's going to be okay because I've got my health. I've set my hope in my health, and it's fine. I don't have to worry about those things that other people have to deal with. Riches or fame or health or whatever it is. It says, don't be haughty nor set your hope on uncertainty of riches. But what do you set your hope on? God himself. Because he is your hope. The uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. We don't set our hope on external things. We set our hope on the hope giver himself, God himself. And if we have our hope in him alone, everything else will be added to us. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He's got everything else covered. So don't make hope an external thing apart from God. When you do, you will be hopeless. Your hope is him, God himself. Draw near. And when we get to heaven, what is the most important thing you want to be a part of? I know that you want to have reunions with family members who've passed away and all those things. But let me tell you, if your goal of heaven isn't to see God face to face and embrace the creator and savior of your soul, then you don't know what heaven's about. You've set your hope on external things. When your hope is in God, let me draw near and abide in him, and then my hope is solidified. Well, in 2017, if we could understand abiding in him is hope, that hope that is in us then bursts out of us some response. If he is our hope and we are satisfied in abiding in him, what does that produce within us that begins to display to a world who is hopeless? They want to know hope, and they're crying out and clinging to so many things that are uncertain and will change. But if we can learn to abide in him, who is our hope, what is the Spirit of God going to produce out of us, those who are finding their hope only in him? I'm going to show you four things in Scripture, I think, that are very helpful. As I was going through all of the Old Testament, New Testament, reading both abiding passages and hope-filled passages, what does it really say to us? If we're hope-filled people, if we truly understand hope, what does it do in and through us? Here's the first thing. 2017, abiding hope produces praising and praying. Very fascinating in the Scriptures about what actually is birthed. What is the motivation? When we have hope, and it's this abiding hope of having relationship with Jesus Christ, the blood that purchased us, and we live out the reality of hope is a person, it produces in us a praising and praying. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, in the ESV, it uses the word blessed or blessed. And a lot of other translations actually uses the word praise. So you could insert any word here. Blessed or praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You notice that when we were spiritually dead, we could do nothing. Like Lazarus in the tomb, we could not raise ourselves from the grave. But the power of God and the mercy of God called our names out and opened our eyes and opened our ears, and we responded to his call. And out of that, what does it produce? See, it's God in our lives and there is hope. What does hope then produce? Praise be to God. Bless his holy name. I can do nothing but shout his holy praises because he is most glorifying. He is awesome. He is the one that I've got to shout about because without him, without my hope in him, I would still be dead spiritually, living without hope. But with him, it produces in me a worshipful heart that overflows. When worship is lacking and praise is lacking from our lips, it's because we've placed our hope on something else and have not been abiding in him who produces the very praise to him from our hearts. Praise is not a duty. It is a delight in response to his great mercy. You realize you're alive today. You're living and breathing because of God's mercy. He is a gracious God. And he is hope. Our heart's beating. We feel the breath. He was gracious enough to give you life. But he was even more gracious to give you a rebirth of salvation. And so people who understand that God is hope, and it's a living hope, it's not an isolated one-time hope, it's a hope that continues to live because God is living, active, breathing. He's living in us because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We praise his holy name. Praise and worship is the core of who we are. It is the manifestation of abiding in our Creator. Worship includes church family gatherings on Sunday, but it is not limited or defined solely as an event on Sunday. The reality is that all of life ought to be ceaseless worship. Not just created to worship. We were created worshiping. When we were recreated in Christ, we were created just as a worshiper. It's natural. It's supernatural work of God. You know, once God opens our hearts and minds and brings us to repentance, we are enabled to worship him rightly. Our worship is elevated the more we abide in him and get to know him. We worship individually. We worship with our families. We worship as the body of Christ. In 2017, would you make a commitment to gather with the body and worship weekly? Let this be the overflow of what's taken place in your lives individually all week. I mean, this is really a time of synergy, multiplied effort as we worship as a ceaseless worshiper, day in and day out, living and breathing worship with God. As we come together, this ought to be magnified in here. You know, corporate worship is the closest we get to heaven. Individual worship is good for the soul. You must worship him moment by moment. But if we want to most reflect heaven, we ought to gather together. Because God is most glorified in corporate worship. Because that's how he's devised heaven. He didn't devise heaven as everybody has their own individual closets to stay in all of eternity. He has them as one mighty chorus of worshipers working and living and loving together. So hope produces this kind of praise. Romans chapter 12, verse 12, tells us about praying. You notice it says, and I want you to just read this verse with me so I make sure that you're still awake from last night's late events. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. How many of you need to memorize that verse this year? There's an applicational verse for you. You notice it says rejoice in hope. Let's define that as some do. Rejoice in some external circumstance that may or may not happen. That doesn't make any sense in the interpretation of that verse. If you understand hope is a person, Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, that God himself is our hope, we rejoice in him. And then what does that produce in us? Patience in the difficulties of life. If we understand that we can abide in him and rejoice in him, it doesn't matter what the world's storms are, that I'm fine. Because my rejoicing is not based on circumstances, it's based on my relationship with Christ himself. Rejoice in hope, rejoice in him. Be patient in those tribulations, and while you're going through them, what are you going to continue to do to make sure you're still abiding and rejoicing in him? You're going to be constant in prayer. Well, prayer is not just speaking out loud to hoping somebody hears you. Prayer is the intimate conversation you have with God. He's spoken to us in our hearts and through his word. He wants you to communicate to him through prayer, a surrendered, humble, childlike faith of praying and calling out to him. God, I love you. I'm rejoicing. There's some difficulties of my days, but I know my constant prayers will keep me connected. So I know that you are my hope and nothing else. Because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Listen to me, that in 2017, I hope that you have true hope, and that is him alone. And that will produce in you a heart to worship and praise him and to pray. Not just at prayer meetings, not just before a meal on a Sunday afternoon, not just in a Sunday school class as you wrap up. Make prayer your constant breathing. You can't live moments without breathing. You really can't live 4 seconds without a communication with God. Make sure that he's in your heart, in your mind, and you're talking to him silently or out loud. Sometimes you just need to let it go and just talk to him out loud. People might think you're crazy. I mean, I drive down some of the roads, 285, and you see people singing and being crazy in their car with whatever. I'm like, you ain't got nothing on me. I'm going to talk to God out loud. I hope you don't mind. We can sit in traffic, and you might be cursing, but I'm going to be praising. Because God is the only one that can help me be patient in my tribulations and keep me rejoicing in him. If he birthed me, he can sustain me. Praising and praying. In 2017, I'm going to assemble a prayer team. This team's going to be both an advanced team and a first responders team in our church to everything we do. I'll explain more about that next Sunday, because I'm going to take the points of today and share in more detail over the next several weeks. But prayer and worship, prayer and praising, or these things that are going to deepen our relationship with him and strengthen us as a church, as a hope-filled, abiding in him church. Here's the second thing. Loving and learning. Hope, abiding hope, produces in us a loving and learning environment, a people. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, look at this verse. There is one body. That's the body of Christ, the church, the not a building, not an event, but the people of God called together. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope, one God that belongs to your call. Do you understand that when God, who is your hope, calls you to himself, he doesn't just call you to himself, he calls you to his body. And he says, there's only one. One church, my called out people. It doesn't matter if you're from Kenya, Guatemala, or Georgia, that all will worship one God, one Savior, and you're a part of the relationship, the family, the building, the body of Christ, as he says very clearly in Ephesians and several other places. With hope, we develop a heart like God's. And what is God's heart? For his church. When Christ died, certainly he died for you, but it's more clearly stated throughout the New Testament, he died for his church. He died for the people, plural, those he's calling to himself, that they would function, work together, be unified in such a way that hope would reside, not just in the individuals, but in the plurality of that group. Hope would radiate from them because God is among them. And the world would be drawn, the hopeless world where it's so dark and desperate and they don't have any solutions, they would be drawn to the church, the people of God, because that's where hope resides. I've called you to one body. Well, if God loves the church, do we love the church? Do we love each other like God loves us? That's what he calls us to. 2017, my hope in God is that he would breed such a unity in our community. I want you to consider 1 John chapter 3. Listen to these verses. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. It says, And anyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Now, think about these words. Anyone who thus hopes in him. Now, because he is our hope. Anyone who hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Later in verse 10, it says, by this it is evident that we are children of God. What, that we worship, that we pray? Those are good things and necessary things. But look at what it says. How do we know if we're really pure and children of God and that our hope is genuine? By this it is evident that we are children of God. Then who are the children of the devil? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should, what, say those three words together. Love one another. You want to know if your hope is fixed on God alone? It's going to produce in you a love for each other in such a way that you know that it's not on circumstances, it's not on events, it's on God alone who produces in you a love for one another like God has love for you. Oh, we want to be loved. But how desperate is it that God wants you to love one another? That loving is a motivation, a production of the hope, God himself in your life. Learning is also one of the hopes. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. God is our hope. How do we learn of who he is? It's only through the scriptures. You can learn much about God through creation because God is a magnificent, a very amazing creator. But you don't learn truly who God is unless you understand the scriptures. There are some who are still spiritual infants. You've come to Christ by faith because he's changed your heart. He's opened your eyes. You've accepted the beauty of the cross and the resurrection of Christ. But you know very little about the Creator, the Savior of your soul. You know some elements of what he has done, but do you really know who he is? You pray, but you're praying out of ignorance because you don't know who you're talking to. The only way we can truly know God himself is through the words that he has revealed about himself. Now, certainly God could have said, I'm going to just get a plane with a long banner at the end and you just read it as it flies around the sky and that's how I'm going to communicate to you. Certainly he could have said, you know what, I'm just going to take the clouds that I've created and shape them. You know, not just like dogs and cats that you look at and see all the time now, but I'm going to shape them into words so you can know exactly what I'm trying to say to you. I mean, certainly he could have said, you know, I'm just going to send you a telegram once in a while to remind you of who I am. He did not choose to do that. He could have said, I'm going to set up my own Facebook account or my own website, God.com. Check me out once in a while. But he did not choose to do that. You know what he chose to do? Over several thousand years, with over 40 different authors, with different backgrounds, professions, he spoke to them. And he said, you write these words down. My words will be preserved. Not a jot or tittle will be removed. And my people will sustain themselves and learn about me through the word. We need the word. I mean, people, there's a lot of thoughts about God all over the planet, and people eat those up. But if it doesn't come from the word, I don't trust it. You need a loving, learning heart. And that's where hope is. And when I first met Jennifer 24 years ago, we only dated for a year and got married. I said, I'm not going to let her get away. But when I met her, I said, I want to get to know her. We'd talk for hours. Just tell me about yourself. We'd sit out. I mean, we were young, but we'd be at her elementary school at the back. She wasn't in elementary school at the time, But we did. It was real close to her house, so we'd go out to the elementary school that she attended many years before, and we'd sit out on the monkey bars in the back and just talk for hours because I want to know who she was. What was her likes? What was her dislikes? What was her dreams? I wanted to know her because I was in love with her. If we're in love with God, do we want to know more about him? Because he has communicated. We ought to just sit for hours and lose time because we want to know him. That's what it means to abide. And if we understand he is our hope and we're learning about him, it will change our lives. We learn from God. We learn about God. We learn through his word. We can learn on our own as we read and study. We can learn in groups of people with the same hope and desires, where iron sharpens iron. Perhaps you're in a season of life where you want to learn more about God. More about what he says about marriage or parenting. What he says about future and hope. There are others with the same desires, and it would benefit you to be in a group of people who are learning, desiring to know the hope that lies within. Perhaps you need to be reminded of God's attributes and have a study through how great he is and what he really says about himself, how that would tremendously benefit your soul. And there are others in this room that so desperately want to know those type of things. And if you would sit in a group of people learning and talking and discussing and praying through those things, let me tell you, it would show that you truly do believe God is your hope. In 2017, we're going to relaunch some small groups and discipleship environments. We're also going to be adding some educational opportunities that deepen your understanding of God and his scriptures. We've got some very intelligent people who study well, and we're going to provide them an opportunity to share what they know from the word in some groups that you can learn from. In 2017, I'm going to invite you to take the challenge of reading the word every day. Through the week. If you don't have a reading plan of the Bible, then I'm going to encourage you to pick up the brochure out in the lobby. 2017, there are 260 days of the week, and there are 260 chapters in the New Testament. Just read a chapter a day, Monday through Friday. It will help you to learn to abide, and it'll teach you what God really says about himself. You'll learn much, and you'll love much. Here's the third thing. Serving and sacrificing. In 1 Thessalonians, I discovered in chapter 1, verse 3, it says this about serving and sacrificing. It says, remember before our God and Father your work. Remembering, he's remembering them about their work of faith and their labor of love. How they serve the body, how they serve Paul specifically in this passage. How the church just desired to do for others because of their hope in Christ. See, there's steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You notice, once again, hope is a person, not an event, not a circumstance. Hope in Christ, and because of that, there's a labor of love that's produced to serve one another. Hope motivates to see the needs around and meet those needs in the strength of God. When God called you to himself, he saved you, but he also gave you the Holy Spirit. And from what I know about the Holy Spirit, he is never idle. He's working in you, he's working on you, and he also desires to work through you. And if you're truly focused on the hope that is God himself, he will do powerful, amazing, more than you could ever imagine or think through you. That's our hope. When we hope in God, he produces in you a passion to serve other people. He also gives us a heart to sacrifice, because sometimes serving is not convenient. Let's go to 1 Peter. I'll explain this passage out a little further, because there's a larger context of understanding. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, I want you to notice the sacrifice produced because of hope. So it says, for this is how the holy women who hoped in God, their hope was in God himself, it hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, not with all this external things. You know what they did? They submitted to their own husbands as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, I don't have enough time to explain all of this. If you're kind of clenching your fist going, what's he going to say? I'm ready. But I want you to see the hope passage in here. Because my hope is in God, I'm willing to sacrifice to serve wherever God calls me. Sometimes people read this passage and go, it means women are less than men. Wives are less than their husbands. Let me ask you, when a woman has a child, we have one in the back row, Marcy is holding her baby. They know what it means to lose sleep, and it's not because of the ball dropping on New Year's Eve. Does a mom become less than her child because she sacrifices her time and energy for that child? Absolutely not. She's not less than. She's motivated to sacrifice whatever it takes to love and to serve. God calls us at times to sacrifice, to surrender, to submit to situations, to serve the greater need. It does not mean that you are less than. It means that your hope is not in that circumstance or that event or that person. The hope is in Christ alone. He fills you with all that you need, and with that, you have an overflowing that it's not even a sacrifice to give the way you are called to give. So in this passage, as I see that these women, these holy women, hoped in God. That was their source, their sufficiency. They adorned themselves by sacrificing, by submitting to do whatever it took to help someone else. In this particular passage, it's to help their husbands. When Christ, who was sitting on the throne with God himself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and Christ stepped off that throne and came down to the world, took on flesh, and lived a holy, perfect life all the way to the cross, he sacrificed himself for us. Does that mean he's less than us? Or his love was motivated out of the hope in the relationship with God, that plurality of the Godhead who loved one another, but they loved us so much that they were willing to sacrifice in order to make us what he desired. Abiding in hope produces serving and sacrificing. In 2017, we're going to be adding more opportunities to make a difference and to serve one another both in and through Crossroads Church. Some are listed in the Sunday program today. Whether you're going to be a greeter or working with audio visual in our children's ministry or skate night or a local or international mission trip that we're going to be on. There are various means by God has gifted you and called you to serve. I'm going to be asking that you serve one another in such a way that even at times it may be a sacrifice. In 2017, I want us to think less about being a member of the church and more about being a partner in ministry. I want us to think less about being a member of the church, a member that has benefits. I want you to start thinking about being a partner in ministry as if we are co-responsible for how God is glorified and the world is served with the good news. Jesus said, "I did not come to be served, but to serve." And he called us to do the same. How about us? Where will you be serving? Where will you be sacrificing because of your hope? Here's the fourth and last thing. Showing and sharing. I'll share this briefly. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, which is interesting, it's just after the passage we just talked about. It says, "But in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord is holy. Always be prepared." All right, so there's some preparation that's taking place. "To make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." There are two phrases in here I want you to see. Not phrases that literally said, but I want you to notice the observations I have. Showing and sharing. Someone is asking you for the reason for the hope they see within you. It's not that they're just walking down the road and go, "I'm just going to ask them, I don't know if they have hope, but I'm going to ask them if they have any hope." No, that's not the context of the verse. It says, they're seeing something in you that is hope-filled. You live in such a way that your hope is in God and it radiates out. I mean, you're praising and praying all the time. You're loving and learning all the time. You're doing all these things that hope produces. And someone sees that does not have that hope. And then because it's being shown, then they ask you, "Where do you get that hope? Why do you live in such a way that you're just not devastated? Because 2016 was the most awful year ever." And that gives you the opportunity to share. If no one's asking, I wonder what you're showing. If people can't see hope, they're not going to be asking you for it. Abiding hope, when we learn to abide in him, to reside in a relationship with him, when we're seeking him daily and he's filling within us that which we don't have by ourselves, that God has to do a work in us, when that is such an evident thing in our world where we need to be prepared to be able to share where that hope comes from because of who we worship. And I guarantee you, the more you spend time in the word and in prayer, you'll be prepared. Because you won't share about some time that you had 25 years ago when you were Baptist. You'll be sharing, well, you know, I'll tell you where my hope is from. I was reading Matthew chapter 3 today, and I'll tell you what my hope is. I was reading John chapter 4, and here's my hope. You'll get to share something fresh because hope is living. It's not a past event. In 2017, we're going to be more intentional about showing and sharing our hope. We're going to look for opportunities with our neighbors and with our workplaces to live out the good news of Christ and to be ready to share the hope that we have. We will provide some opportunities as well to prepare ourselves to answer who our hope is in. How about you? Are you living out showing hope? Or are you prepared to share that hope? Are you looking for opportunities to share your hope? In Matthew chapter 12, verse 21, it says, in his name the Gentiles will hope. As I was working through this and saying, we have never done this in our church, but I want to put up six core values that I began to develop just seeing what the Bible's saying about hope and being abiding in that hope. I don't know if this is a permanent thing, but it's certainly on my heart and mind right now. Six core values. Abiding hope produces these values in our lives, as individuals and as a church, that we have a life of worship, that we have a passion for prayer, we have a commitment to our community right here, in a sense of us, the unity in the church. We have a devotion to Scripture, we have a heart to serve, and we have a determination to share. That's what abiding hope produces. I don't know how 2017 will turn out, what all God will allow in our lives and the circumstances of our country and our world. But if you were to ask me what my focus is this year, that's it. I want to abide in hope and see what he produces in my life, in my family's life, and in the life of this church. These are my values, and that's what I'm committed to. I'm going to ask that you close your eyes. We want to prepare our hearts for the Lord's table. We'll have the deacons and elders come and prepare. But as they're making their way, I want to ask for a response from you in your own heart and mind. If you're a baptized believer, a Christian, you've already made a commitment, I'm going to invite you to receive communion and recommit yourself to the Lord for 2017. Now's the time to kind of get your heart and mind ready to receive communion, to remind yourself that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. But if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've never been baptized, you've never really made that a public profession, I want to give you the opportunity to give your life to Jesus and be baptized. After the service, I want you to come see me down front. We're going to have some information packets here at the front. I'll be here to receive you. And you can take that packet home. It has some answers to some of your questions, and we'll pray together, and we'll get you right in 2017. Father, thank you for today, and I thank you for the opportunity to respond to you based on what you've said to us, that our hope is in you. Help us to worship you during this communion time.